The Bible tells us that money is the root of all evil, that power and money corrupt us all in the end. More recently, sociologists have been putting that theory to the test. In one scenario, researchers waited at a crossroads in California to see what sort of cars would let them pass. The cheapest cars would almost always stop, but the more expensive the car, the more likely it was to zoom by. The worst offenders, apparently, were BMW owners. So does wealth bring out the worst in people, or were those people unpleasant in the first place? Oliver James is a psychologist and he's also the author of a book called Affluenza, about the effect wealth has on people's character.
When I did my book Affluenza, in which I went around the world interviewing people, staying for a month each in New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, Shanghai, Moscow, Copenhagen and New York, I interviewed millionaires in all those cities. The vast majority of them have in common that they had difficult childhoods, but then so do lots of people, but they have tried to resolve their difficult childhood by trying to make themselves impregnable through the acquisition of wealth and power. And the evidence is very clear that, for example, a chief executive is four times more likely to be psychopathic than the general population, to be a cold-hearted, ruthless person with no conscience. And that is caused not by genes, it's caused by extreme neglect and maltreatment in the early years. Now, of course, not all chief executives are psychopathic. Not all psychopaths become chief executives by any means. A lot of them become criminals. But the point is that if you look at any study of exceptional people, one in three of them lost a parent before the age of 15, prime ministers and presidents, for example, in the UK and America. And basically, exceptional achievement generally and becoming a billionaire or a millionaire in particular are very much a way of dealing with a difficult childhood, to put it very crudely.
But being rich doesn't make them necessarily nice people. I mean, there is a lot of talk now about how being rich, it makes people more selfish, it makes people more unlikable, more difficult, less integrated into society.
Yes, there's some very good evidence from America recently that shows that people in the top social class are thoroughly unpleasant compared to people in lower classes. They're much more self-focused, they're much more greedy, they're much less likely to give to charity.
But why? Why is that?
Because in order to get to the top, at least in America, you have to have very sharp elbows and push everyone else out of the way. It's a dog-eat-dog society. Free market economics encourages that.
But then are you saying that, for example, a Spanish billionaire or perhaps a Swedish one is a nicer person than an American billionaire?
That's a slightly different point. I was talking about the people in the upper echelons of American society in general. I think the people in the upper echelons of Spanish society, I'm sure, are much nicer than those in America. When it comes to millionaires, most of them are greedy and selfish, and they get to the top by being tougher and more ruthless. They're often entrepreneurs rather than, it's also true of corporate chief executives too, though.
When you did these tours of Shanghai and all these capitals to meet these very rich people, did you like any of them?
Yes. In fact, I met in Singapore, I met a wonderful man who was a very wealthy man, but he and he'd come from very poor origins, but he'd had wonderful, terribly loving parents. And he'd scraped his way up from a Malaysian chicken farm to being incredibly rich. He was somebody who'd, is that very unusual person, somebody who took had a genuine love of what he did, a genuine fascination in what he did. He has a corporation that does quite a lot of good, as well as making him a lot of money. But his main, unlike most very successful people, he was, primarily concerned with making the world a better place as well as getting rich.
So he was very unusual, you're saying?
Very unusual. I mean, the very, very few are like that.
And the rest, were they just unlikable people?
Mostly, yes. Mostly they were not people you would really want to go on holiday with or have as your friends.
It begs the question, what's the point of being rich if no one likes you?
Well, of course, they have lots of people who like them, who want to suck up to them. And that's one of the problems.
But it's not genuine.
But you see, I think that what one should never confuse, it's like people think that pop stars, are driven crazy by fame. The evidence is overwhelming that, you know, highly creative people are already have a certain kind of disturbance that draws them towards exceptional achievement in that field. And it's the same with entrepreneurs. It's not being wealthy or very successful that makes you unpleasant and dislikable and selfish. You were that way. You know, your achievement of that success was an expression of those characteristics in the first place. But of course, lots of people want to be your friend. And if you're a pop star, lots of people want to sleep with you. It doesn't make you happy.
Psychologist Oliver James. Well, are you rich and pleasant? Are you proof that wealth does not always corrupt? We'd like to hear from you. Get in touch